Doug, are you with us, sir?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Fantastic. I'm so excited, sir. So just giving you guys a brief idea who we're going to have on this call. Tonight's speaker, I met him at the door of an elevator in a resort in Los Cabos. Oh, by the way, my name is Maksud Mir. I'm a national consultant with Ambit Energy. It's such an honor to be doing the call with you guys tonight. This Sunday call has been my regimen for every Sunday since I started the business, guys, and it has helped me propel my business tremendously. And I thank Brian for asking me to host this call. And tonight is extremely special because we have our gentleman here. He'll be telling us a little bit more about what he has done. But in Los Cabos, when I met him 5 years ago, I became immediately, you know, enamored by the way he was talking and the way he mentioned a few different things there. But I got to spend a little bit of time with him there at that five-star. And as I got to know Mr. Parker, he impacted me in many ways. Over the time that I've been able to spend in the last 5 years with him, he's become my friend, a mentor, a guiding light to me. He told me when I asked him how to introduce him, he says, you know, call me an uneducated East Texas redneck that worked a little hard, real hard, and has accomplished a thing or two. And I will tell you, he did accomplish a thing or two. Today, he's the number five income earner of Ambit Energy. He's a winner of the Co-Founders Impact Award. He's a member of the Karma Club. He is a multiple five-star trip winner. He's a Pure Energy Award winner. Also has been featured in the Success Magazine multiple times. He is today a published author on leadership. He's also a member of the Million Dollar Club. Guys, this is Mr. Doug Parker, National Consultant of Ambit. I am extremely honored to have you, Doug. Doug, tell us a little bit, and from the time I realized that you were one of those rare gentlemen who is gifted with an innate ability to stretch the vision of others, and you've done that for me, sir. I feel very lucky to be one of those guys. Please tell us how you built these big, big dreams, and you made it a reality, sir. And where did leadership come into that?
Mira, I tell you what, man, I appreciate you you having me on tonight, and it's always an honor to be able to share my story and just tell, you know, a little bit about kind of where I came from and, you know, some of the things that I've done to have some success in life. And I appreciate getting to know you. I mean, it's always been an honor just to visit with you anytime I get a chance to, whether it's on the phone or in person. I always love to give you a big old hug. I know the last year or so has been, you know, kind of weird with the pandemic, but seems like a lot of that's starting to work itself out. And so we're excited to get back to whatever the new normal is. But as you kind of mentioned, yeah, I'm just a good old East Texas boy. I grew up out in the Tyler, Texas area, and the last 20, I guess about 6 years, I've been in McKinney, Texas, which is just north of Dallas. But, you know, they say you can take the East Texas out the boy, but you can't take the East Texas out of the boy, and or the boy out of East Texas, but not the East Texas out of the boy. So I think a lot of times, you know, I just learned hard work. You know, there's really no replacement for it. If you're taking notes tonight, I want you to write this down. And if you're not, I want to encourage you to get something to write with and maybe a piece of paper or something, because there might be one or two nuggets that will resonate with you as you're listening. There might be something that sticks out that can help you grow your business. And one of the things that I hear from time to time, whether it's a training I'm conducting or someone else, when you get to the end of the training, people love the training. Oh, it's awesome. It's great. You know, this, that, and the other. What was your favorite part? Oh, I liked it all. Well, the problem is if you like it all, but you don't remember any of it, it doesn't really help you grow your business. It was just entertainment. And I'm not really here to entertain. You know, it's a little bit after 9 o'clock and my bedtime is 9 o'clock. I'm one of those guys that's early to bed, early to rise, and I, you know, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. I think that was maybe Benjamin Franklin. But so I'm here tonight to try to share a few nuggets about my business and how I did things to help me have success. So there might be something that stands out to you that makes will make you have a little bit of success as well. I hope that it does. So I grew up out in East Texas in hard work and clean living. I've had some things that have gone my way. I've had some things that haven't gone my way by people I've been around have helped me tremendously, whether it's mentors, coworkers, employees, bosses. I mean, just a myriad of things. I mean, I've had some people that have been around me that have steered me wrong from time to time as well. And so just, you know, coming from East Texas, I remember my grandpa when I was growing up used to have this little saying. He'd say, "Get the lead out." And what the lead, get the lead out meant was, is like, imagine like lead, you know, as heavy as lead is. It's like you got lead in your back pocket pants and you're moving too slow. He's like, "Get the lead out." So I've always kind of walked fast, kind of talked fast, just kind of like get after it. And over the years, I've always kind of gotten back to that, because it was a kind of a term of endearment, but it was kind of like, if you don't get the lead out, something happened. And so I always listened, and I got the lead out and took off. Because I didn't want to have the consequences of being slothful or not moving fast to get stuff done. So, but I grew up, I'm an entrepreneur, moved here to the Dallas area in the mid 90s, and right after I graduated from high school, basically got married, had a couple kids, and before I knew it, the little bit of money that I was making in the car stereo business was not enough to support a family in the way that I wanted to support my family. It you know, it was not going to help me accomplish my dreams. It wasn't going to be able to provide for my family in such a way to make the generation or to have the next generation have more opportunity than I had. And so I went through a series of steps of doing some different jobs and working hard and ultimately started my own business in 97, but did it part-time for about 6 years. And in 2003, I left the gainful employment at, I guess I was about, I think maybe 26 or 27 years old, a place where I was making a couple $100,000 a year and had full benefits and everything you could imagine. And one day I just decided, I'm done with this. I'm not doing it anymore. And I got home one day, my wife's like, "What do you do at home?" And I was like, "Well, I'm pretty sure I just quit." And she's like, "What?" And one thing led to another. I went in on Monday and gave my formal notice that, hey, I'll serve out a notice or I, you know, move on down the road. In the automobile industry, they don't really allow you to serve notice. But that was when my official, like, for real entrepreneur journey began. And the rest is history. Our company was recognized on the Inc. 500, 5,000 list three separate times as one of the fastest growing privately held companies in America. And that's actually where I was introduced to Ambit. So in 2010, when Ambit was the fastest growing privately held company in America, that was the last year that my company was on that list. And I actually was in Maryland and got to see Jerry Thompson Jr. receive the award for being the fastest growing company in America. And it was a black tie event that they kind of invite everybody to that's on the list. And I thought, man, that's cool. Jerry's a CEO. I'm a CEO. We're both kind of from the Dallas area. Man, when I get back to Dallas, I'll try to maybe meet him and see if I can grab a lunch or a breakfast or something. And I sent a little congratulatory letter. I never really got a response to that. And never really thought anything about it. When you're on those lists, you get, you know, contacted by all kinds of different people. And then one day, one of my employees, I had about 110 employees that were, you know, regular W-2 employees that came in the office every day, knocked on my door. And it was a guy that I had kind of heavily recruited to come to work for me. He was a small business guy as well. And he was doing some stuff in his business, and we had done a little bit of business together. And something just made me think that, you know, maybe he was going to do something different, wasn't going to continue to do the business he was doing. And I just called him one day, and I said, "Hey, if you're not going to continue to do your business in kind of a weird way," I said, "I'm kind of like a first right of refusal just to talk to you and maybe have you do some work with me in some capacity." And so he was like, he ultimately said, "No, I'm good. Everything's good." That was on a Friday, and on Monday he called me back and said, "You know what, I think I really honestly, because I think I am going to do something different." And he came to work for me. I had kind of a pretty big plans in my mind for him. He did a great job. And then, you know, 6 months later, he's knocking on my door, and I'm like, oh, man, James is fixing to quit. I could see it in his eyes. I knew what this knock was doing. And basically he came in and started telling me about this company. It was kind of him hawing around about, "I'm going to get your opinion on it," and this, that, and the other. And as he started telling me about it, I was like, "Man, that sounds like Ambit Energy." He's like, heard of it? I was like, yeah, absolutely. And kind of told him the story. And then I was like, well, sign me up. He's like, really? I was like, yeah, yeah, sign me up. We'll get it set up. Let's go. And, you know, I fast-tracked to regional consultant, I think, in 5 days. I proceeded to slow-track to senior consultant and slow-track ultimately to executive consultant. But right before Mira and I met in Cabo, I'd promoted to executive consultant. And I remember telling Jared Abshire one day, we were at a gas station. For some reason, we were out and about doing something, and Jared was my upline EC. And I said, hey, Jared, because he was like, oh, man, you're doing good, you know, because I was going from senior to executive. I was like, hey, man, once I get the executive, just hold on. Because the kind of money that I need to make, I got to make at least a certain amount of money to really dedicate time to this thing. And I've been dilly-dallying around for about 2.5 years, and wait till I get to executive and see what happens. I'm going to really go after it. And then ultimately promoted to national consultant in about just under 2 years. And, you know, as Mira, as you mentioned, you know, ultimately have earned well in excess of $1 million. Now it's well in excess of $2 million, almost to $3 million. And, you know, the reality is I can't find a replacement for hard work. I mean, this is network marketing. It's not no work marketing. From time to time, you'll hear people talk about in our industry about going to sleep when they're sleepy, waking up when they're not, you know, sleepy anymore. And, you know, I've never promoted it that way because I haven't found a way to make it work that way. I can't find a way to go out and find some people that want to just sleep late and, you know, stay up all night and do crazy stuff and have the work ethic it takes to have success. In this business, it's not easy. Just like anything else is out there, you know, that you're having long-term sustainable success with, they're not easy. You've got to get out and do the fundamentals and do, you know, whatever it takes. You got to get on the whatever it takes program to make things happen. And if it's easy, it's not likely to last very long. There are some things out there that are easy, but they're not likely to be long-term, sustainable, life-changing income type opportunities. And so for me, is it frustrating sometimes when stuff doesn't happen as fast as I'd like it to? Yes, 100% of the time. I get the let out. So whenever stuff doesn't go as fast as I'm going or as fast as I want it to, it frustrates me. And, you know, I think it's a double-edged sword. Some of the things that make you the best at some situation in life also can kind of be a deficit in another situation. But I assure you, getting after it and hard work and those kind of things, it has absolutely served me well. But, you know, to Mir's point, Mira, I've enjoyed, you know, the relationship. I've enjoyed when you talk about stretching vision. It comes naturally to me. I get excited about other people's success. Zig Ziglar was one of my mentors in many ways. In real life, you know, like a person with some skin on them, like Zig and I had met several times over the years and been to his Born to Win seminar and was able to take him to church one time and hang out with him for the day and several things like that. But I've spent countless hours listening to Zig, and you know the one key thing that sums up everything that Zig Ziglar was about was just if you'll help enough other people get what they want in life, you'll always have what you want. And I've always felt that way. You know, obviously, Mira, I've never made one penny off of any production you've ever done, but it makes my heart warm whenever you know we're going back and forth. And I'm like, you know, hearing what you're doing, and hey, how many people did you put in this month, and how many people did your team put in, and how many customers does that equate to, and like I like seeing that. It gets me pumped up and excited and jacked up. Even though I'm making no money on you, that's okay. I still like seeing your success because, you know, success breeds success, okay? Success breeds success. If you're taking notes right now, that's one you might want to write down. I'm telling you, if you hang out with a bunch of losers, misery loves company. And, you know, losers like to, you know, it's like the crabs in the boiling pot. You know what I mean? One of them gets about, just about out of that thing, gets his little paw or claw up at the top of the edge. Man, three or four of them start dragging them back down into the bottom where the boiling water is. And that's how, you know, losers do is they drag you down. They don't want to see your success. Whereas you get around some people that are killing it. And I love seeing the kind of numbers, you know, over the years that Mir has done. I love talking to people like Tim Bowie. You know, we've a lot of us shared, you know, information, whether it's team size, income, different things on kind of a one-on-one basis. And I love seeing some people where their income is like so much more than mine or whatever. I love it because it challenged me to make me think, okay, it's out there. I know I can go make it too. Or maybe it's somebody that I'm helping out and I'm showing them the way on some things. So, you know, I don't know exactly how to explain, you know, how I'm intrinsically motivated and like that kind of stuff. But I will tell you that Zig Ziglar's fingerprint over my life, and I feel like if I'm helping people, then I'm always going to have what I've won. It's always served me well. And whether I'm directly making income with something related with Mirror or not, that doesn't really particularly matter. It's just he's a successful person. When he's having success and I'm around him, then I'm having success because he's going to challenge me. He's going to push me. So I want to be around winners, and I want to find a way to win. And you know, success leaves a trail, okay? So you can follow that trail. I mean, you can step like little kids that put their parents' boots on or something, and then they start walking in the same footprints as their parent. It makes a path, and it works. And so, you know, if you figure out ways to do things, some things are very fundamentally just basic information. It's not rocket science. You know, it's really just doing, you know, hard work. I jokingly talk about hard work and clean living, but, you know, when people are out doing all kinds of crazy stuff at night and they can't hardly get up in the morning or they wake up late or whatever, like I wake up just like automatically every morning at about 4:30 or 5 o'clock. I have an alarm that is set for every day at 6 o'clock that I never, ever like wake up to my alarm really. But I'm ready to go, man, because I go to sleep early and you know, I feel good when I get up in the morning. I'm ready to roll. I get up, take a shower, get going. By the time I'm in the office at, you know, 6:45, 7:30, whatever it is, I got 30 minutes or an hour just to kind of decompress and figure out what all I got to do today and all that kind of stuff. And then it's go time. And pretty much from about 9 in the morning to about 6 o'clock, I mean, it's hammer time. I mean, if it ain't got to do with business, I normally ain't doing it during those hours. I try to schedule stuff outside of those hours, you know, with personal time. And, you know, I jokingly say as an entrepreneur, as I mentioned, I started, you know, full-time being an entrepreneur back in 2003. So now it's almost been 20 years that I haven't had anybody that I've had to report to per se or work. But now that I'm an entrepreneur, I really just work half days. You know, it's a situation where I just normally work from about 7 in the morning to about 7 at night. So I just work half days now that I'm my own boss. So it's a pretty good life, and typically, you know, 6-7 days a week is kind of how I roll. But anyway, that's kind of an overview, a couple little nuggets in there, and a little bit about, you know, Mirror, you know, kind of what seems to motivate me to try to help others.
Yeah, that was awesome, Doug. There's so much to take down. I mean, you know, in just a short period of time, you touched on several points here. You touched on that discipline. And, you know, I look at you as a member of the Shark Tank of Ambit Energy. If Ambit had a leadership Shark Tank, you would be in it. But you have a leadership style of your own, sir. What is your leadership style, sir? I mean, can you tell us a little bit about that so we can learn?
Well, you know, I think really ultimately, I mean, it's always, I have always seen, it's speed of the leader, speed of the team. I mean, that's a John Maxwell thing, but I don't ever expect anybody, you know, to do things that I wouldn't do. And I don't expect them to do what I tell them to do, but not what I do. And so kind of how I built my team, whether it was an Ambit or whether it's been in anything in life, I do what I say I'm going to do. I try to lead myself well first. I think it's hard for, you know, people to tell other people what to do. And there are some extenuating circumstances where, you know, you got to delegate and elevate, but that doesn't mean that you're too good for that. So sometimes you got to be real careful, because I catch myself doing manual labor, especially on the weekends and stuff, that it really makes no sense for me to do it. It's better for me to pay somebody to do it. Mathematically, it makes sense. But there's like a meditative state of just doing stuff that I don't really have to think a whole lot about while I'm manually doing something. It gives me a little bit of exercise. I ain't having to pay somebody else to do it. So all in all, I kind of like that process. But, you know, from a leadership perspective, I really just think it's speed of the leader, speed of the team. I mean, you've got to figure out what you're good at, surround yourself by other people that can help strengthen areas that maybe you're not as good at. a well-rounded team. And then I think also it's a culture. You know, I mentioned earlier the thing about people that, you know, go to sleep when they're sleeping, wake up when they're done sleeping, all that kind of stuff. And there are some people out there that can make that work for them. I mean, there really are. And God bless them. I mean, I'm happy for them. I've never been able to figure that out, okay? So I don't go recruiting people by telling them, hey, yeah, I got a team, and we go to sleep when we're sleeping, and we wake up when we're done sleeping. Like, that is not how I roll. I pretty much tell people, listen, if this is after 9 o'clock, don't call me because I ain't answering my phone. You know what I mean? Like, just this is how it's going to be. I'm going to be asleep. But bright and early in the morning, I'm there for you. And so, you know, I really feel like from my personal leadership perspective, it's just fast paced. Handle your business, do what you say you're going to do, lead yourself well, try to help others accomplish their goals. And, you know, when nobody, I think it's maybe a Ronald Reagan quote, but basically, you know, when nobody cares who gets the credit for it, you know, it's amazing how much can get accomplished. And, you know, really, when you, like the introduction, like for me personally, man, I don't care how anybody introduces me. And I know there's some specific things in network marketing, you know, because you want to present in a certain way and you want to, you know, you want to give all the accolades and whatnot. But, man, really all I care about is just getting down to business, getting stuff done, getting paid. That's why I do what I do, is because I want to get paid. You know, this is a situation where this is how I support my family. I take Ambit very seriously. I want Ambit to be successful for a very long time. And I've made a significant commitment to set other business ventures to the side to focus on Ambit because I believe in Ambit and I want it to have a lot of success. But it's not by goofing around or taking it, you know, not seriously. And again, there are people out there, and I'm not saying they're not serious, but there's people out there that they just somehow have a lackadaisical like lifestyle and stuff. And somehow it works for them. I don't understand it. Maybe they're just lucky that I am. I don't know. But bottom line is, I have always found if I find something where other people are having success at it, I feel like I'm a relatively smart guy. I feel like I'm a really hardworking guy. And so if you can show me a path to success, then I can probably have success at it too. And that's one that I did back in two, you know, when we met 5 years ago, the year before that, I did a podcast where I interviewed 50 of the top leaders in Ambit. And I published it, and it's been out there for years. Of these 50 interviews of things that people did, and there were some things that pretty much everybody did, and there were some things that were kind of like just golden nuggets, like that one person did, and some of those people are, you know, no longer with Ambit anymore. Some of them have still continued to have massive success, but the reality is I learned from each and every one of those interviews of things that successful people did. Again, you're kind of hearing a recurring theme here of find successful people. Get around successful people. Get away from the people who aren't having success that are not doing what they need to be doing. Work hard. I mean that's the rhythm. That's the way that's the only way I know how to train people, and the only way I know how to conduct my own life is just be around the right people, learn from them, and then go execute.
Yes, sir. That's sage advice. That's what I realized. I mean, you know, when I read the book there, sir, you just published a book, and I just want to tell the audience here that Doug wrote a book called Momentum Makers. It has 100 tips for developing six-figure leadership. It's available on Amazon, and I'll let Doug tell you a little bit more about that. Can you tell us where this came about, how this book came about, and who is this book for, sir?
Sure. So who's the book for? It's very specifically for network marketers. However, there are a group, a handful of us that got together that are all professional network marketers. And this particular book is on leadership. So Jordan Adler, which some of you may have heard of Jordan, he wrote a book called Beach Money many years ago. And it's just a best-selling, you know, book specifically about creating, you know, passive income streams, and Jordan is a superstar, like $1 million income earner for like 30 years or something crazy like that. And basically this book is for anybody that wants to have success, that wants to lead others, that wants to know, hey, what are things that are practical that I can go implement in my business right now to help me have success. And it's not, the book is kind of agnostic to who or what company that someone may be with, and nobody, you know, is trying to hawk their wares in the book at all. So there's a handful of us, and basically Jordan selected, you know, a group of us to write this book. And, you know, the way it came about was a couple years ago, I was looking to get to the next level. I felt like that, you know, I was having some really good success with Ambit, but I wanted to take it to a whole nother level. I'd interviewed everybody that would listen to me or would talk to me, I should say, that I could listen to them. And I felt like that, you know, I didn't know who else to tap on the shoulder within Ambit. So I tried to broaden the scope of who to talk to. And so I got connected with Eric Worre and joined a next level, what they call it, mastermind group. And I invested something like $50,000 over the last couple of years with that. Maybe it's more than that, but whatever it was, it was a bunch. And then, but more importantly than that was the time. We did a weekly conference call every single week for an hour. Went out to Eric's house two or three times per year, depending on the year and the travel restrictions. And ultimately, that's how I got introduced to Jordan. Jordan's part of the group, and as well as several other, you know, six and seven figure per year income earners. And, you know, the coolest thing for me was, and it can be a little bit intimidating, maybe you're on this phone tonight and you heard, you know, Mir talk about, you know, some of my success, or maybe you heard me mention something about the money that I made with Ambit over the years. And you may be thinking, but I'm not really there yet. And what I'm fixing to tell you, you're probably going to think it's funny, because while I'm saying I've made, you know, close to $3 million or whatever with Ambit, I'm in this room thinking exactly like you're thinking, okay? I'm thinking, holy moly, I'm in here. Some of these people, like, legit are making $1 million a month. Now, I've been in Ambit now for almost 10 years, okay? 9.5 years or something like that, all right? Some of these jokers is making in a quarter of a year what I have made in my whole career with Ambit, okay? So you might be thinking, you know, some kind of calculations of whatever your deal is. Hey, maybe that's what Doug's making in Ambit per month or per quarter or whatever. Bottom line is, I feel exactly like you did, okay? I'm in here with a bunch of heavyweights. I mean heavyweights doing significant things. And, you know, I just wanted to learn from some of these folks. I wanted to see what are things I could implement in my business. What could I take back and apply to Ambit? And a lot of, you know, those businesses are businesses that are product-based and some different things. So not everything really 100% applies, but leadership, it applies no matter what. It applies to your kids. It applies to church. It applies to your normal work job. It applies to being an entrepreneur. Pretty much anything you read in this chapter that I wrote in here, it really don't have anything to do with specifically network marketing. It just has to do with leading. I mean, it has to do with doing what you got to do to make stuff happen. And so really it's for anybody. But if you apply these things that all the network marketers, you know, say in here, man, it could really change the trajectory of your business. And again, it's just getting around the right kind of people. And these are the right kind of people. There are other leaders, you know, that are making it happen, making six figures, you know, per year and on a you know, reliable basis, you know, year after year, not one hit wonder kind of. But yeah, so anyway, it's called Momentum Makers. We're super proud of the book. And as Mir, as you mentioned, it is available on Amazon, and you can get a real copy. I got a real copy in my hands right here. And then also you can get it, I think, via Kindle, I think is how Amazon does their deal. But you can get a digital version of it as well through Kindle. But yeah, if somebody wants to check it out, I mean, I'm not here on the call necessarily to push the book, but I think that you could definitely learn things from others that are having success for sure. And you know, if you do, you know, decide to get it, I'd be honored to just hear what you have to say about it. You know, how has it impacted you, and what are things that you're going to take and apply to your business? But no, thanks for the little plug there, Mir. I appreciate that.
No, I appreciate you, sir. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, you put it apart about modeling, you know, modeling the way you perform, or a leader has to model for his team. So what is the importance of modeling, sir? And how has it impacted you?
Yeah, so I mean, basically with modeling, you really want to wear nice clothes. And no, I'm just playing. I'm not talking about like walking down a runway or something like that, you know, being a fancy, like a fashion model. I'm just talking about modeling for the next generation. Okay. Because what happens is we've probably all heard the story of, you know, the lady, you know, the husband asked the lady, you know, why do you cut the end off the ham? I'm just wondering what is it? Could look like there's some good meat on the end of that bone. You know what I mean? Why you cut the ham? Well, she goes, to be honest with you, I don't have no idea because my mom always cut it off. And they call mama and ask her why she always cut off the length of the ham, the edge of it or the end of it. And they said, well, that's because my mama did that. And then they call grandmama and grandma says, I did it because I only had a pan that was that big. So for two generations, they've been throwing away meat because that's just how grandmama did it. They didn't even know why they did what they did. So whenever you're modeling for somebody, a lot of times people don't know they don't know why they're doing what they're doing. They're just doing it because they saw you do it, and you've modeled for them a way to do it. And you might have heard of generational curses where there's things in families where people do stuff that is far worse than cutting the end of the ham bone off. But it can be a generational curse in your business too, because if you start cutting corners and doing things incorrectly or not doing the fundamentals of the business, then what happens is your organization starts doing that. Now, the kiss of death is you do things that don't duplicate, and then what happens is you don't have organizationally a team. You don't have anybody to duplicate even the bad stuff you're doing because some of that stuff just doesn't transfer, and that's definitely problematic. So one of the things that I always like to do whenever I'm training people to kind of come up with a duplication model, if you will, is I just basically say, hey, I'm going to do it, and then you just watch. Okay, just watch me do what I do. Sometimes people that are really good at certain things, they're good at it. They're at a level of competency that's called unconsciously competent, so they don't even know how to do what they do. They just know how to do it. Like little kids that can do like long division in their head, and then they look at you like you're crazy because it's like, well, why don't you? That's just the answer. Why don't you know how to do it? Like, because they're different, right? They have a certain skill set. So people that are really good at stuff sometimes aren't always the best teacher. But if you can watch them, you can still pick up some of the things they're doing. So sometimes, you know, if I can't explain it or I don't have it, like a whole training module or something on it, I might just say, hey, I'm going to do it. I want you to watch what I'm doing. Just watch what I'm doing and pay attention. And then, like, the next step is I do, and then you just help me with certain things. I may delegate a couple little things for you to do. I'm going to do this stuff, and then you do this, because now you're there's action, okay? There's action going on, and you're getting involved in that. And then it kind of flip-flops the other way. So then I may let you do it, and then I'm just going to help you. So I'm just going to maybe correct and redirect you a little bit where, you know, you don't quite have it down just yet, but I'm going to help you get it down. And then you do it all by yourself, and I'm just watching. I'm just watching to make sure everything is good to go. But, you know, hopefully you're trained up to the point where, you know what, they got it. They're on top of it. And then it's just you do it all by yourself, and then the whole process restarts again. Then it's you do, and then you help others do the same thing. So, you know, it's this whole modeling process of going through, doing it the right way, you know, and conducting yourself in a manner in which other people can follow and they can duplicate. Again, because in this business, it truly is a duplication. It really has nothing to do with what's effective. It has to do with what's duplicatable. So you can do things that are effective, but if it doesn't duplicate, then you just have a job and you're doing plenty of work, and that's fine. And there's angles for that, and there's ways that makes sense to do some things, but you lose the power of network marketing whenever you don't have duplication. So you just want to make sure that you're doing things in a way that you're modeling the right way to do it so that they can take those same things that you've done and implement them and have success with it.
That's so powerful, sir. I just love that part. Look, you also talked about culture and delegation. I know you touched a little bit on the delegation part of it.
Sure.
Why is that creating a culture so important in an organization?
Well, I think, you know, culture is going to occur no matter what, okay? A culture is going to get developed. It's either going to accidentally happen, or you can meticulously plan it out. And so I've always been a fan of making sure that I'm kind of directing the steps or the path of where I want, you know, the end result to be and what I want it to look like, and, you know, like you mentioned, vision casting and having vision boards and having this certain culture. And, you know, the reality is it's happening one way or another. So wouldn't you much rather have a planned direction that you're going? Another zig thing is that, you know, if you don't have a roadmap of where you're trying to get to, you'll likely wind up somewhere other than you intended. And so you don't want your culture to end up going in a different direction than what you intended it to be. Most people probably, when they have, you know, their bouncing baby girl or bouncing baby boy, you know, when they're a brand new baby, they don't fast forward, you know, 20 or 30 years or 40 years. And, you know, some of these people that are in prison for whatever reason, they never thought, oh, my bouncing baby boy is going to be in prison. You know what I mean? Or whatever. It's just somehow they accidentally got there. And so I know it's an extreme example, but most people that have extreme success in life, it's not because they got lucky. Most people, I mean, there's always somebody along the way that gets lucky. But most people, whether it's winning the lottery or something else, if they don't have a plan of how they got there, most millionaires, I mean, from winning the lottery are back broke. I think the number, maybe even bankrupt within like 3 to 5 years, because they don't know how they got there. They just got lucky and they don't know how to handle money. And so, money attracts the people that know how to handle it, and it gets sucked away from people that don't. And so, you got to get yourself in a position to know how to handle it, whether it's, you know, money, culture, whatever. You got to have a plan for it. If you don't, then you'll likely wind up somewhere other than you had intended.
Yes, sir. So true. So true, sir. Since we're talking about money, sir, I'm going to ask you, I was going to ask you this question. The year you were in the top 20 money earner in Ambit Energy, and you and I, you know, we were sitting at a poolside, and you told me, you know, my thing is to get to the top 10. I mean, you did that in a year's time frame, and you went to number 7 money earner, and then you just kept on climbing, and now you're number 5. And from just the numbers, you tripled your income in a year and a half time frame, sir. What changed about yourself? What changed about yourself or your thought or your plan that made that incredible difference?
So I think a combination of a few things. Number one is I think in the book by Jim Collins, Good to Great, he talked about something called Big Mo, okay? Big Mo, and it's momentum. And he talks about how every revolution on a flywheel, like on an engine, every time it goes around, the next revolution, it's easier for it to go around faster because it has momentum on its side. It's kind of like a snowball. Every revolution, every time it turns, like rolling down a hill, every time it turns, it picks up more snow and it gets bigger and bigger. Part of it is that. Part of it is just frankly knowing the systems better, getting better at my craft, better at my skills, building, you know, bigger and better team, and finding things out, and then having a plan and then sticking to my plan. I'm very meticulous about mapping out what I want to accomplish, and so. I got with corporate on certain things. I'm like, hey, where I'm at? Well, I check on it, you know, not on a monthly basis, but like quarterly. And then like never on like the last quarter of ambition quarter, they would not ever tell me where I was at. But I always, not bugging them, not in that kind of way, but I always was like all over it. I'm like, hey, I just need to know where I'm at. I don't care about nobody else, but I would like to know where I'm at. And I would like to know how far I am behind the next person. Okay. I'm going to tell you a little funny story real quick, and then I know we're a little bit cramped on time, but I got honeybees out of my property. I'm building a house. Everybody knows about that, blah, blah, blah. But I got honeybees. So last year, all my honey, it got messed up because these little bugs called hive beetles, they got in my honey, okay, and they uncapped all the honey, and then they poop in it, okay? So it makes it totally worthless, okay? So I had like 100 pounds of honey that they just pooped in, you know what I mean? It's messed up my honey. And so I was talking to one of my leaders the other day, and I was just explaining to him all, like some of the extreme measures. Like I babysat these bees last year at the end of the year after the honey had gone bad, and then I'm going through it. I'm checking them every week. I'm going through doing these special things, and I've got like tons of honey right now, and this is gonna be a this will be a great honey season, okay? So I'm going through it, and I'm like, I'm taking all these steps to make sure no hive beetles get back in my stuff. He goes, man, would you really love honey that much? He goes, why are you? Because I'm going to have like probably 500 or 600 pounds of honey. And he's like, well, I mean, do you really love honey that much? Are you going to sell or something? I was like, no, but I'm going to win against these freaking these bugs. They pooped in my honey last year, and I'm going to demolish them all, and I'm going to win, okay? I like to win. So whoever the next person is that's ahead of me, in general, I don't care who it is. I mean, like, for instance, it doesn't matter if it's Mir or whoever it is. I'm not so worried about them, but I just want to know how far did I miss the mark by? How far am I behind them? You know, how much more do I need to do to get to the next level? How could I be number 4 instead of number 5? How much did I miss it by? And so for me, I am intrinsically motivated, and I want to know where I'm at. I check all my numbers like every single day. I know exactly how many customers I've got. I know all that stuff because what gets measured gets improved. Write that one down, okay? What gets measured gets improved. So I measure a lot of different things because I'm competitive. I want to win, not because I want somebody else to lose. That has nothing to do with it. I just want to win. And so I want to find a way to win. Even if it's winning against some little bug that pooped in my honey, I'm going to beat those suckers. I promise you I'm going to have so much honey this year because I've taken extreme measures to babysit this honey to make sure it's going to be in good shape. But I did the same thing over the last 5 years with Ambit. I have made it a priority in my life because people don't care about your excuses. Mir, I know you know this, man. Me, you and I talk real all the time, man. People don't care. They don't want to hear about your excuses, man. All they care about is what they care about, okay? They don't want to know why you can't help them get there, okay? Your excuses, they might listen to you. They may say whatever, that's fine, and whatever. But the bottom line is what they really care about is whatever they care about, not about your excuses. Your excuses might sound beautiful coming out of your mouth, but nobody else really cares about them. And at the end of the day, you just got to go out and execute and make stuff happen. That's what people want. And so whenever somebody sees a leader going out and making it happen, helping them get stuff accomplished, helping them accomplish their goals, putting a path together, showing them here's the roadmap to success. And then if you get off of that, you take an exit, you exit somewhere else, then I'll be like, bro, why did you get off? Why did you exit for? I thought you told me you want to have success. All of a sudden, you're not doing what I told you to do. I ain't got time for people that want to go sit on the bench and just be a bench player. You know what I mean? You want to run? Let's run. You want to walk? I'll walk with you when I got time. You want to sit on a bench? I am not a bench player. I ain't going to sit on a bench and gossip about why I'm not getting to play. I'm going to play. And so, I really do feel like, though, over the last, few years, I feel like I've gotten dialed in with Ambit. I feel like I've figured out some of the things by laying down, the hard work 6-7 years ago, building on that foundation, getting around other successful people like you, Mir, and so many others, picking their brains, figuring out, hey, how can I push, pull, do whatever to get to the next level? And then just I stay diligent. And here's really the last thing that I'll kind of hit and then whatever else you want to cover, Mir. But I was talking to somebody the other day about one of the reasons why I think I've had success just in life at a lot of stuff is because I don't ever quit. I really don't. I don't quit. I am a winner. I'm going to win. I'm going to outlast you. I'm going to outwork you. I'm going to do whatever it takes, and I don't lose my momentum. So every single day, I've got certain metrics that I do every single day. I make a certain amount of calls. I'll turn everybody's call by the end of the night, even if it's just to tell them, hey, I ain't got no news for you. This is just what's up. You know what I mean? I just want to tell you, I got your message. I'll call you tomorrow. I'll try to figure out what's going on, but I just want to let you know that I got your message in and I'm on top of it. But every single day I'm measuring stuff. I'm doing what needs to be done. And, but I don't lose momentum. And so many people, they lose momentum and it's terrible. I mean, you don't have to do the same numbers that Doug does. You don't have to be to that level, but what you have to do is you got to keep your momentum no matter what. Your tummy hurts. It don't matter. You know what I mean? Like, it don't matter. You still got to do what you got to do. You know, you got a headache, who cares? Get on the program anyway. And what happens is a lot of people, just like going to exercise or losing weight or whatever, they have one day, they go, oh, one day ain't going to make a difference, and they just take off. And then all of a sudden, well, then that day turns into 2 or 3 days, and all of a sudden, man, like a month goes by or a year or 5 years, and they ain't done squat, okay? don't lose momentum. That's probably the one thing to not, if you're taking notes and you want to figure out how to have success, don't lose momentum. You write that down. You put that on your, write it in lipstick on your mirror, okay, every morning, and just says, don't lose momentum. That will be one of the biggest things you could ever possibly do for your business, for your life, for your family, for your, for, you know, for everything that, that is you, is don't lose your momentum. Don't take a day off. And I'm not saying don't take a vacation. I'm not saying don't take off Sundays. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't lose your momentum. Whatever the, your momentum is, just don't lose it. Do whatever it takes. Get on the Whatever It Takes program. You've heard me say that a couple times tonight, to maintain your momentum. You know, that's why coming out of Ambition, there's always something big going on. That's why coming out of Simulcast, there's always something big going on. I have always been the type of person that there's some times of the year when it's really, really busy in every business, and there's some times of the year where it's really, really slow. So a lot of people are like, oh, when it's really, really busy, that's when I'll take off, because, you know, for vacation or whatever, because in the really busy time, like, I can work 3 weeks and still make, you know, same amount of money maybe I would make in 4 weeks. So it doesn't really impact my income very much. But I'm like, heck no, man. When it's busy, I'm going to work double hard because there's that much money more coming in. Maybe I can make two times or three times what I normally make in a month. And that's what I've always shot for. And then when it's slow, I'm like, dang, man, I won't take no time off now because it's so dang slow. If I have a certain amount of money I need to make, I need to work even harder to still try to make that kind of money. And even though I've made all, you know, this money over the years in different businesses or whatever, I still got to grind. I still got to hustle. I still want more. And, you know, the reality is that, you know, I got to keep grinding. I got to keep making it happen. I got to, you know, I got to keep myself on the Whatever It Takes program because I got big goals, big vision, big things that I want to accomplish in this world. So, keep your momentum, figure out a game plan, eat the elephant one bite at a time. These are all just things that you already know, but just stay on top of your business and don't give up. I think Steve Thompson says it best. I mean, you know, never quit. I mean, just never quit. But on top of never quitting, if you never quit and you never lose your momentum, it's hard to beat somebody that'll never quit. Okay? If somebody never quits, everybody else quits. You'll find a way to win. That's how it works. So, man, that's all I got for that, Mirror. You got any other little items you want to hit?
Sir, that was so powerful. I don't want to take up your sleep time. I don't want to. You giving up this much time is amazing. Guys, if you don't think this was one of the best calls that you've heard, I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is amazing. And you know, everybody I've talked to, Doug, in the last 5 years, they always tell me that you're the nicest guy in Ambit and you're the straightest shooter. And tonight, everybody knows that. So, and I appreciate you being our guest tonight. Thank you very much for leading us into the next chapter of Ambit Energy. And next week we will have Mr. Ray Perez, national consultant, Mr. Ray Perez, and he will be leading us on the next call there. But Doug, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. You know, I'm going to open the lines up for everyone to say goodnight to Doug. And thank you for a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful call. Thank you.
I appreciate that. I'm honored to have been on here. I hope it makes a difference to somebody else. I truly do believe if you help enough other people get what they want in life, you'll always have what you want. I hope everybody on this call gets everything they want. I really do. But I want to tell you about Ray Perez real quick. Mirror, you did a great job introducing Ray, but let me tell you something. This dude, Ray Perez, you need to be on this call next Sunday, okay? Ray is a personal friend of mine from here in the Dallas area via El Salvador, and Ray came – I'm not going to tell you his whole story, but he came from – if you think you came from somewhere tough, not tough as in tough, like beat him up tough, but tough as in like a tough environment, I promise you this dude came from a place and is living the American dream and loves America and loves to be here. And if you're an American and you're from here, it will give you – it will bring you dang near to tears. Your hair on your arms and the back of your neck is going to stand up because how you might take stuff for granted that this dude doesn't take for granted, I promise you – you need to be on the call, and you need to have every single person on your team get on this call. And if they're a Spanish speaker, that's even better because Ray speaks Spanish. He speaks English. He and his wife, Soma, are just phenomenal, salt of the earth. And I didn't mean to take over there for a second, but I just think we had to do that because I'm telling you, Ray is going to bring it next week. And if you ain't heard his story, you are absolutely missing out. Don't do it. Don't miss out again.
Sir, that was absolutely necessary. Thank you. Thank you very much, Doug. No, thank you. You know, when Doug is talking, you know, this is the real truth. He's the straightest shooter in ambient energy. But guys, listen to him. Bring all your people next week. And I just can't thank Doug enough. Please thank him tonight. Make him know that, you know, you appreciate his knowledge.